The senior executive service faces an unprecedented time where criticism they think is rampant, the environment is moving faster than ever, and the retirement bubble maybe teeters on popping, hard to tell. So how do senior executive leaders navigate these rough waters and encourage a new generation to join public service? The National Academy of Public Administration had a few ideas. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers heard them, and she joins me now to share some of them. Meredith, before we get to what the NAPA is saying, what the National Academy of Public Administration is saying, what is actually going on in the senior executive service that you can really put your finger on?
Actually, quite a lot. The SES is leading the federal workforce through the first year of a new administration, under a spotlight and with a hiring freeze in place. To help out not only with this, but in the context of the next era of SES, NAPA just published a new book. It's not a policy book. It's actually a book of stories. That's what Ron Sanders, a NAPA fellow and former associate director of National Intelligence, had to say during a book launch event in Washington this week. It's a compilation of leadership stories and case studies. Although, of course, what is a book about government service without recommendations? So this book does include a list of actions for SESers. They include establishing a permanent way to engage the SES Corps, make mobility and character SES prerequisites.
And they're making these recommendations to
the SES leadership and executives to say, this is what we need to do going forward for the 21st century. We're already well into it, but it's government, so everything moves a little bit slow.
Okay.
And so a couple of the other recommendations are providing peer review for greater accountability. One of the issues, obviously, is accountability. We cover that here at Federal News Radio. And so one of the recommendations is to kind of, obviously, there should be oversight, but a lot of times the best sort of feedback and accountability you're going to get are from your peers and your colleagues. And then there are a few other recommendations related to executive core qualities and SES compensation.
And what do we know that some SES actual practicing people now say about all of this?
They largely agree with the recommendations. The idea that we're in this fast-paced environment now where tweets are flying and news is breaking, senior executives have to be flexible and mobile if they want to be able to keep up. Michelle Flournoy, she's the former DOD Undersecretary for Policy, said to keep up, SES leaders need to be leading investments in the workforce, protecting the workforce. And in turn, the government needs to be grooming these leaders to be effective in their agencies during this kind of wild and crazy time.
It's a real challenge for leaders to stay focused on the truly important as opposed to the most urgent and, the tweet of the day, and to focus on, what are the real priorities that you have to keep moving forward on when you're literally bombarded with information every single day. So I think, we need to put a premium on what I would call strategic leaders, leaders who can stay focused on what's truly important over time, and who are able to leverage the full range of the instruments of U.S. power and influence, both hard power and soft power. The question for the SES is, are we really doing enough to develop those kinds of leaders? Is there more we can do to incentivize and reward that mobility that Ron was talking about? Whether perhaps it's, saying that to make it into SES and to ascend the levels within the SES, you have to have more and more interagency experience. So what is that whole of government talent management and leadership development strategy? What does that interagency career path look like for SES?
That was Michelle Flournoy, the former DOD Undersecretary for Policy.
And that sounds like the voice of authority. What about some other SESers? Did they have anything to say?
Another thing I heard was that taking risks should be something that agency leaders are encouraged to do. And we've heard this before about taking risks. It's okay to fail. What I think is interesting and wonder is just how much this is being said, but how much is being put into practice. Carolyn Colvin, the former acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration, said what's missing in the workforce is creativity and innovation.
Particularly as we look at all of our policies and our systems, we usually develop a policy or process to deal with one particular problem, and then it becomes embedded and everyone then begins to follow it. So I really look for people who are creative and innovative and who will think out of the box, and who, if you say this is the way we've always done it, the first response will be, then we shouldn't be doing it that way any longer because we've been doing it that way forever.
That was Carolyn Colvin, the former acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration.
Yeah, she was there a long time and they could not get her over that confirmation line and a very dedicated public servant. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. What else did you hear at NAPA? Interesting material here.
Yeah, what I thought was kind of really interesting was how to appeal to the next generation of the federal workforce and future SES leaders. We can plan and strategize all we want for what needs to be done to groom senior leaders or things to put in place. But going back to some of the recommendations, if you don't think about how the next generation of workers will factor into this, there's not much of a point of setting all this other nice stuff up. Here's General Michael Hayden. He's the former director of the CIA and former director of the National Security Agency.
In 10 years, you will be faced with creating within a generation that admires Edward Snowden and believes him to be a national hero, and to get that cohort to be meaningful contributors, disruptive contributors to a new style of federal bureaucracy. I'm trying to suggest that, you know, in an airman's fight, you don't want to get yourself in a tail chase. In other words, getting better and even better techniques to improve a cohort that has generational values of the greatest generation, the boomers, the Xers, the Yers. The word there is future, all right?
That's
You're going to have to do this with millennials who have a different, not better or worse, but a different approach to just about everything. And so how then do we create that cohort going forward?
That was General Michael Hayden, the former director of the CIA.
And of course, his generation was thought to be going to hell in a handbasket because they liked Elvis Presley.
Right. And now here we are with millennials and their tweets and their all kinds of crazy stuff. But General Hayden's comments got a lot of response from the other panelists. You heard a couple uh-huhs and yes in there and nods from the audience. Millennials are actually very service oriented, and they also don't want to be at the same place for 30 years. That was part of the discussion of this. And so that's kind of the reputation you get at the government is you come in and you're there for 30 years and then you retire and that's it. And so there needs to be a bit of a balance of, hey, come do good work. You want to be a service oriented. Michelle Flournoy was saying, I've got three kids and they all are millennials and they all love to do good work, but they don't want to be working somewhere for decades. So there has to be that balance there of and also letting this generation know you can work for the government, but still be mobile.
Indeed. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. Thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
Check out Meredith's coverage at federalnewsradio.com.